not a Trekkie, but I do know that that's from Star Trek. And it could be the mantra of our story today. It could be Daniel's mantra. Because he's in exile, which means he's been dragged from his home country, and taken to a foreign land after the Babylonian conquest. And his freedom to practice his Jewish faith is at risk. His actual life is at risk for worshiping God. His life is at stake. Now, the context, this is the context for the book of Daniel. Now, some of the books in the Bible are poetry, and some are wisdom literature, some are songs, and some are prophecy. But the book of Daniel is resistance literature. It's a book that tells the story of resisting the powers of the day to follow the God of Israel. And Daniel actually lives to tell us the story. So instead of hearing the story today as maybe a cartoon that's hard to believe, hear it with new ears today as a story of resistance in the name of God. Now, as Sarah was just pointing out to the kids at the children's sermon, is all the good Bible stories start out with people being jealous. So they're jealous over who has the power and who doesn't have the power, and who should have the power, I suppose. So the other government officials, the natives of the land, are jealous of Daniel, who is a foreigner, after all, who's made a name for himself, his own self, and has been promoted over them. And so when they couldn't dig up any actual dirt on him to ruin his reputation, they just tricked the king to rewrite the rules. Now, evidently, they'd been paying close enough attention to Daniel's prayer life that they knew they could get him into trouble. Pray to only King Darius, or you get thrown to the lions. That was their evil plan. Now, this sounds like no big deal to the king when they approach him. And he writes this edict, and he signs it without, as far as we're told, any second thought to Daniel or anybody else who prays to God. And of course, the plan worked just as they had hoped. They catch Daniel praying and they run off to tattle to the king. They remind him, like, now that rule that you wrote, it's true, right? Like, it's as important as the rules of the Persians and the Medes, right? And the king falls for it. I can just imagine him sort of straightening up and saying, well, of course my rule is as good as the rules of old. Absolutely. It's as if it was written in stone. And then, so they make sure the rule's still good, and then they go, well, it's Daniel. It's Daniel, your favorite, who's praying to God and not to you. So the king is distraught, tries to find a loophole in this written on stone rule that he's just written, and instead knows that he has to throw Daniel to the lions, as the rule says. And then he says to Daniel, before they get him in there, he says, your God, to whom you are so loyal, is going to get you out of this. It's like he's saying, I bid you no good here. Good thing you stayed loyal to God. This is a story of a man who was abandoned by his colleagues, by his trusted king, his boss. Yet Daniel refuses the easy way. Daniel resists following them, even to save his own life. He resists. I think it's the perfect story to start this season of Advent. A season of resistance to the culture of Christmas, to the culture of everyday life. It's a season that's made for watching and waiting for hope that doesn't make sense in our world at all. Daniel helps us usher in a season that our culture widely ignores. Resist, return, repair, rejoice. So this Advent, I call you to follow Daniel's lead and to resist. What is it that you have to resist in your life that pulls you from praying to the God of Israel? What is it in your life that pulls at you that you need to resist? Resist the pressures that tell you to schedule more and to eat more and to do more. Resist the powers that tell you to pray to God only after you've prayed to the power of the dollar or to your calendar, to your busyness. And this is what I think is the good news, is that you cannot resist by your own power. You can't resist without God. So follow Daniel's lead and pray to God, knowing that you are not at this by yourself. You are not alone. Pray to God as you drive to work or to school, as you make dinner, as you exercise. Any little mundane task can find you praying. And then listen for how God will call you to resist and will prepare you to resist day by day, moment by moment. And while you pray and resist the temptation to normalize a breathless schedule that scatters yourself hither and yon, know that it is God that remembers you, that returns you to a whole being, that returns you to community, that returns you to your identity as a child of God. It is God that remembers us together. It is God that erases the category of the other and remembers the outsiders, bringing them inside. God reminds us and remembers us so that we remember that we belong to each other, to love each other. So know this, in this season of Advent, you are remembered by God. Each one of you remembered by God. And God's love for you will never fail. This is what Daniel shows us today in his faithful resistance. And we say, thanks be to God. Amen.